Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Did you hear about the little town in Texas? Now, I don't know if this story is true. I tried to look it up, but about a little town in Texas that somebody came in and was building a brewery, and the person building the brewery was an atheist. And a local church didn't want the brewery to come into town, so they prayed that the brewery would be destroyed. They actually had a prayer meeting for that. Lo and behold, after the brewery, or a short time after the brewery was opened, a fire completely destroyed the brewery. Well, the owner, who was an atheist, took the church to court. And in court, the judge had to make a decision. The atheist said they were at fault because they prayed for the brewery to be destroyed. And the church claimed no responsibility for the destruction of the brewery. Well, the judge had a big problem because the atheist didn't believe in God or prayer, but yet he wanted to blame the church. And the church that believed in God and prayer was taking no claim or responsibility for the prayer. And what happened? The judge basically said, someone is being a hypocrite. Or both of them were being hypocrites, you might say. Well, today, in our reading, it is Jesus who speaks to us about people who are hypocrites, even when it comes to prayer. It's part of this series we're in called Vision from the Mount. It's part of the greatest sermon I believe ever preached. It's the sermon by Jesus. And Jesus, in this sermon, turns the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, upside down. And as Dr. Spomer pointed out, he turns the word of God right side up. Jesus looked at the people and said, you're the salt and the light of the world, not the religious leaders. He speaks to them about true righteousness, not the self-righteousness that the Pharisees and the scribes showed and wanted people to see. No, he spoke about that internal divine righteousness given by God for a person and is the transformation power of anybody who follows Jesus. Then Jesus speaks to the people about the everyday issues. Issues that are as pertinent today as back during the time of Jesus. He speaks to the people about hating, about murder. He speaks to the people about adultery, lusting, and divorce. He speaks to the people about the right side up of the Bible and explains to them about not bearing false witness. And a person of integrity, their yes is yes, their no is no. He speaks to the people about what God says about retaliation and vengeance. And then it was last week Dr. Spomer spoke to all of us about what Jesus taught about giving. Well, today I want to speak to you about what Jesus says about prayer and fasting. Now, the title to this sermon is called Optics. Okay? The nearsightedness or nearsightedness of prayer and fasting. But I'd like to kind of connect last week's message and today's message. And I was thinking about how I could do that, and I thought of a different title. Now, if I would have said the title today is about giving, prayer, and fasting, some of you might even have tuned out right after that. But if I would come up with a title like this, The Three Secrets Found in the Bible, your ears might go, hey, what's he talking about? I could even add to that, the three secrets mentioned in the Bible, or the three secrets of Christianity and the rewards that go with them. Do I have your interest? Well, last week, actually, Dr. Spomer mentioned the first secret. Do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Give in secret. Then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The same words are said about prayer and about fasting. Huh. I hope I have your interest. Let's take a closer look. Let's once again look at Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Somebody who doesn't have his heart into it, isn't doing what he's really supposed to be doing. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I have a funny little joke to share with you. You know why you don't tell secrets in a cornfield? You don't, because there's many ears. I know that's a little corny, but there is an amazing point to that little story. You see, the secret of prayer and fasting and giving is not the show. It's not telling others something you know and you're not supposed to tell them. No, it's not about the show. It's about who you know. Who you know with your heart. You see, the Pharisees prayed three times a day. And they would stop in the middle of the street and go in the corner and pray really loud, so others would see the show. Yeah, the show was, so they would look at them and say, see how spiritual those Pharisees and those scribes are. Look at, they pray any place. But Jesus turns that upside down and says they're being a hypocrite. And says, that's wrong. Don't do it that way. Even Daniel in the Old Testament went up to his room, opened up his window towards Jerusalem, and prayed. But the Pharisees were all about show, and they did not know the true heavenly Father. Jesus says, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in heaven, who sees in secret, and in that secret will reward you. Wow. Listen to what else he says. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles. So he goes from the Pharisees and the scribes now to the Gentiles, who we would say would be the unbelievers. For they think they will be heard for many words. Have you ever heard somebody just rattle on word after Father, 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 hear me, hear me, hear me, or something where they just repeat themselves? Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Or a prayer maybe by rote, where you're just saying it and you're not concentrating on the words. They think that they will be heard for their many words. Your prayer doesn't have to be long and extensive. You know why? Because our Father who is in heaven not only sees us and hears us, but he knows what we're going to pray before we even pray. He knows our needs. Listen to this. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You may have a concern right now. Let's say you have a concern about your finances, the coronavirus, your marriage, your health, your family, a child, a grandchild. Not only does God see your need, He knows your need, and He knows you're already thinking about it. So basically, you really don't even have to mention it. But we do, because we know the one we're speaking to, our Heavenly Father. And we have that relationship. And because of that relationship, caused by a changed heart, a transformed life, we want to talk to God. We want to spill it out, even though we know He's all-knowing. That's why Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek you'll find, and knock and the door will be open." It's all about who you know. It's all about where your heart is. Then Jesus, teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Now, if you were part of the Lenten series this year, I shared Martin Luther's introduction to the Lord's Prayer, the seven petitions, and the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. It was a wonderful series. And I'd like to encourage you, if you want to hear that series, you can go back to Our Savior's Lutheran Church's webpage and find the Lenten series. Also, I'd like to encourage you, open up your catechism, that is, if you have a catechism, and read through what Luther says in the small catechism about the Lord's Prayer. It'll just enrich for you what Jesus says here. Let's take a closer look at how Jesus teaches the disciples, you and I, how to pray. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven. He's acknowledging there's really only one person we should be praying to, our Father who is in heaven. He's telling us the location of our Father. Hallowed be your name. There's only one name that is holy. It's the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your kingdom come. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted their kingdom. They wanted their will to be done. And that's why Jesus called them hypocrites. No, our concern should be, what does God want of me? And how does He want me to live? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, if you wanted to do a case study on the Lord's Prayer, all you have to do is look at the life of Jesus Christ. He is the perfect case study. Always walking around, preaching and teaching, and saying, "I'm doing my Father's will." If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. As the Father has sent me, I send you. He was always keeping the Father's name holy. When it came to your will be done, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the cross, knowing the debt He had to pay, three times praying in secret in that garden, laid down, knelt down, and said, "Remove this cup, but not my will be done, your will be done." Jesus knew this had to be done, the Father's will, to save you and to save me, to cover the great price of sin. That is the good news of Christianity. We worship a Savior who laid down His life and did the Father's will and became obedient unto death for you and for me. What a case study. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus never worried about daily bread. And think about it. On the cross, when He was thirsty, He trusted in the Father to provide. And the Father provided a hyssop plant with some gall that was given to His lips. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven. Jesus needed no forgiveness, but yet on the cross, what did He say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Boy, when Jesus went out into that desert and he fasted for 40 days, I'm telling you, he prayed. But yet, what a case study. He fell upon God's word when he was tempted. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the word of God, that is the Father. That is why Jesus, after this prayer, leads right into fasting, the third secret that I spoke about. For if you forgive others their trespasses, fasting. Oh, let's go to 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He goes from the Lord's Prayer to the seriousness of forgiveness. And really, forgiveness, does it not begin with prayer when you're forgiving others? We love because he first loved us. We forgive because we know he first has forgiven us. And if you're having trouble with forgiveness or forgiving others, it all starts with prayer when you say, all right, Father, give me the strength. I know you've forgiven me. Help me forgive others. And I believe he'll give you that strength. It's serious when it comes to forgiveness. You have to forgive as God has forgiven you. That seriousness has to come from the heart that has been transformed by the grace and the forgiveness of our God. Then he moves in to fasting. Let's take a look at that third secret. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces. What's a hypocrite? Somebody who doesn't have their heart in it, is not doing it for the right purposes. He's a hypocrite. He's doing it just for show. For they disfigure their faces and faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Meaning, you don't fast for the show. You fast because who you know and what he did for you. Fasting is a form of sacrifice where you deny self. It's not about selfishness, it's about sacrifice and denying self. Now, we do that quite often during the Lenten season, where we give something up. We say, you know, I'm going to take this out of my life, or I'm going to add that into my life. Why? To help us concentrate. When Jesus went into the wilderness, right before he started his ministry, he fasted. Why? To focus on the Father, to focus on the Father's will, and to focus on God's word. And when we fast, we shouldn't let everybody know. The Pharisees and scribes would put dirt on their face and ashes, and they'd walk around like, oh, pity me, and people would, oh, they're so spiritual. Jesus says, don't be like that. He turned that upside down, and right side up is, wash your face. Don't let anybody know that you're fasting and that you're sacrificing something because of who you know. And you want to draw near to him as he draws near to you. So fasting is a part of the Christian walk, just like prayer is and giving. It's part of what we do, not for the show, but because of who we know. What are you going to take home? What have you learned? Well, the optics of it all is the nearsightedness. I want you to see more clearly what Jesus teaches. Are there people today who kind of turn these things upside down and do it the wrong way? Oh, yeah. But what Jesus says to each and every one of us, don't be that way. The three secrets. Number one, when you give, and we should give because our God in heaven gives so much to us. Don't let your right hand know what the left hand. Give in secret. So your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What is the reward? Well, I believe Dr. Spohman kind of spoke about that last week. I'm going to remind you. The Bible is very clear. Jesus says, the measure you use, I will use. But I'm going to press it down so that it overflows into your lap. What is your reward when you give? It'll be given unto you, a good measure overflowing in your lap. That's God's promise. Those are His words. Now, when it comes to prayer, what reward did those hypocrites receive? They didn't get an answer. They didn't have the goodness of God in their life. What is the reward of the person who prays in secret, not for the show, but because of who they know? Now, was Jesus against public prayer? No, Jesus prayed publicly. It's just when you do it for your own concerns in that private time, don't make a big show about it for others because of who you know. What is the reward? I believe the reward Jesus speaks about in other places. Ask and you shall receive, seek you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Meaning, you'll have an answer to your prayer. Now, that answer may be not the way you want it, because sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. But in my life, I have found this to be most of the time, God answers, I have something bigger and better in store for you. Wait and see. But that's the reward. We know our Father sees us, He hears us, and He's going to answer us. Those who are hypocrites don't have that. Those that do not know the Father through that transformed life don't have that reassurance. When it comes to fasting, what was the reward of the hypocrites? They didn't benefit at all from it. It's like the person who, you know, in the last mile of the marathon jumps into the race, covers himself with water, so pretends like he's sweating, and he runs, finishes the race. Did he benefit? No. It's like the person who goes to the gym, throws the towel over his neck, and talks to somebody for 2 hours. Said, yeah, I worked out for 2 hours. He's a hypocrite. Did he receive any benefit from that? Absolutely not. The benefit of fasting, what is the reward of fasting? You'll benefit from it. You'll draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. It's like if you fast, you may have the benefit of losing a few pounds or not taking in as many calories. The idea is you'll benefit from a fasting. Whatever that fasting may be, if it's a spiritual fast, which Jesus is talking about here, it'll benefit you, especially if you take time to study God's word. The benefit of giving, prayer, and fasting is the reward. And God makes a promise. Not even a cold glass of water given in my name to one of my disciples will go unrewarded. The Bible talks about rewards. And the reward is knowing our Father in heaven. And be able to be open with Him, to pray to Him, to fast because we know Him, to give because He's given to us. That reward just keeps going and going, and our cup will truly overflow. I hope you will take the time to study the three secrets found in the greatest sermon ever preached, the words of Jesus. Amen.